Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune into Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer. And Bob, we are continuing with Creation Magazine.
Oh, yeah, the summer edition.
Yeah, the Creation Magazine latest headlines, the headline section. It's always great to go through that. We've also got a really cool story about ancient DNA that we're going to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Brand new in the news.
Hot off the science press.
Yep.
Okay, so Fred, the first story, let's hit these headlines.
Okay, so the first one is more soft tissue in dinosaur bones. Wow.
This is a good one because this is one of our favorite topics.
We started absolutely
talking about this phenomenon back 11 years ago, Fred, in August of 2006.
Arguably the biggest scientific discovery in the 20th, I say the 20th century, because it was really discovered in 96, and then it started hitting the news around the time frame we started reporting on it.
And certainly the biggest discovery in the history of paleontology.
Oh, absolutely.
And we predicted back then that the media, the science media, the mainstream media would not promote this astounding discovery because it screams out that the Bible's history is true and that dinosaurs did not live millions of years ago.
And there's tons of people who still don't know about this. I mentioned it at work to a guy who's not a believer, I don't know, about 6 months ago, and goes, oh, that's not true. And then he read up on it. It's like, oh, wow, that is true. But it's the iron. The iron explains it. So he read all the so-called counter-arguments.
Yeah, exactly. That hemoglobin bathed all these soft tissue in hemoglobin, and the iron was a preservative.
Yeah.
Well, how much hemoglobin in the feathers of Archaeopteryx?
Yeah.
How much in dinosaur eggshells where the amino acids are still original? How much in the skin of dinosaurs? They're not all bathed in hemoglobin.
Oh, no, of course
not. It's so ridiculous. But they need to say something.
Yeah.
And so for now, they're saying that. Later, they'll say something else. But when they lose the dinosaurs, they lose it all. And Fred, you and I have reported on the biological materials that have been found so far as of 2017 in dinosaurs and in other Mesozoic creatures that are in the dinosaur strata or deeper.
And I think you've created the most thorough list that exists on the internet on this biological material found. It's on realscienceradio.com, rsr.org, /soft tissue.
Yes, /soft tissue, /dinosaur, whatever you do, it'll get there.
Oh, cool.
And so what they have discovered so far, and then we'll get to this headline from Creation Magazine, is they've discovered flexible and transparent blood vessels inside of dinosaur bones.
That's right. There's no way those dinosaur bones are millions of years old.
They've discovered red blood cells, many various proteins, and we list many of the proteins that they found, and they know these are those proteins because they've been sequencing their amino acids.
Yeah, proteins break down rapidly.
Yeah, and so they found beta carotene. They found something called tubulin. You know, if you look at a structure of a cell, there are these microtubule building blocks.
Yep.
They're built of tubulin.
Yep. Collagen.
Collagen. Cytoskeleton components, the proteins that build the cell's cytoskeleton, actin, tropomyosin, and there's a motor protein that's related. It's called myosin. And
of course,
they've
hemoglobin.
Found hemoglobin, and they've found osteocyte cells.
Yeah, for bone maintenance.
Yes, right. These are the living cells inside of bones, and they've found them where they're still biological. They haven't permineralized. They haven't been replaced by the minerals in the rock around the bone.
And they found pigment.
Pigment. And the evidence of melanosomes. Those are the little organelles that create the pigment. And they found proteins associated with DNA. They're called histone proteins. that the DNA wraps itself around.
Yeah, and DNA is so fragile, and they now have powerful evidence for DNA. And it's funny because there's a site, a Wikipedia page, and it's called Rational Wiki. You know, of course, so they're going to rational.
Yeah, so yeah, it's not a Wikipedia page, but it's called a wiki. For atheists.
That's right.
Yes.
And they've got an article about how if dinosaurs really were more recent, then you should be able to find DNA in them. And that is still, I guarantee you, that's still there to this day.
It's still there.
Because every time I give a talk, I go to that page and see that it's still there.
It's still there.
And I update my presentation and say it's still there.
They have DNA evidence, positive DNA evidence from multiple tests for double helix.
So they gave us a test and we passed.
T-Rex.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
like
is
science,
just great.
The way it's supposed to work.
And the kinds of dinosaurs that all these biological materials have been found in include the hadrosaur. That's a duck-billed dinosaur.
Yep.
Titanosaur.
That's a big guy.
Ornithomimosaur. Say that three times fast. That's an ostrich-like dinosaur. A mosasaur, which is
water.
That extinct marine reptile. And then there's, you know, bird-like dinosaurs, triceratops.
Yeah, like the same dinosaur they find on Peruvian burial stones.
Wow. And then there's Brachylophosaurus. That's a mouthful. And Lufengosaurs. That's a Chinese discovered.
So I was going to say that was German.
Dinosaur.
Okay, Lufen. Okay.
Yeah. And T-Rex, as we said, and Archaeopteryx.
Yep.
So now this latest headline from Creation Magazine, it actually comes from a prestigious science journal, the Journal of Proteome Research, and they have found more dinosaur collagen. And again, this is from, what kind of dinosaur was this?
This is a duck-billed dinosaur.
Oh, yeah. They found 8 peptide sequences.
Yep, so now, protein.
Yeah, so a peptide, it's a part of a protein sequence. 2 of them were identical to the collagen sequence from a dinosaur that they discovered back in 2009. So this is reaffirming.
Yeah, a specific type
nice
of collagen.
When you could repeat the discoveries.
Did it match any living animal?
It did not match any living animal in the entire database of collagen protein. That this stuff is all public domain these days. DNA, genomes of hundreds and hundreds of species.
So we didn't find that sequence in any of this.
Right. So aside from the fact that it's inside of a dinosaur bone and right where you'd expect to find collagen protein, also the sequence is unlike any living organism. So it's not contamination. That's another piece of evidence. Not that you need it. I mean, this has all been proved many times over.
Yep.
But it's not contamination. And so this is really cool. But this time around, they were able to find 6 more sequences to add to the first 2 they had. So they're getting chunks of sequenced dinosaur collagen, the protein amino acid sequences. That's really fun. So should this stuff, this collagen, last 68 million years or 80 million years, the ages of all these other dinosaurs?
Well, you have to go a lot lower because laboratory experiments show that at 20 degrees Celsius, collagen is expected to decay away within about 15,000 years. I didn't say million, I said 15,000
years. And so these are lab experiments. This is routine laboratory science. And when you said 20 degrees Celsius, that's like 68 degrees Fahrenheit.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about the temperature of rock in the crust of the earth. And the warmer it gets, if it warms up, it decays more rapidly.
Even more so, yep.
And so this collagen should all have decayed below a detectable limit in, like you said, 15,000 years. And we're still finding it readily.
Yeah. And just like those crime shows, you know, it's amazing when you can find DNA that's like 20 or 30 years old. It's so fragile.
Mm.
So you have to have incredible preservation for this to last even 10,000 years. And you know, the 15,000 is just the limit.
Oh,
it's
that's
obviously the dinosaurs
were the
within 2,000 to 6,000 years ago.
Yeah, the Earth, was created by God less than 10,000 years ago. I believe about 7,000 years ago. So most of these fossils are a result of the global flood, and so they're about 5,400 years old or so. And in fact, That ties in with the discovery out a week ago about ancient DNA.
Yeah.
And so, Fred, before we get to that, our best-selling science DVD ever is called Jurassic. Dinosaurs Are Young, All of Them.
Mm-hmm.
We have sold thousands of copies of this DVD. It is the best-selling resource we have ever had.
Yeah, you're co-author on that.
Trey
Smith.
You're
co-presenter.
Trey Smith and
Very
Bob Inger.
Very popular on YouTube.
Yes. And so if folks haven't seen this or shared this with their kids, grandkids, leave it behind in a coffee shop. I mean, it has such an interesting cover to it.
It really does.
Yeah.
Add yourself to the thousands. Let's get this to tens of thousands.
Yeah, wow. And so, and also it helps Real Science Radio stay on the air.
Yep.
So if you haven't seen Jurassic, Dinosaurs Are Young, All of Them, just go to rsr.org, click on the store, and go to the science department, and you'll see it right there. Or, of course, you can call our studios, 1-800-8-NYART. That's my last name. We should have 1-800-8-WILLIAMS, too.
8-NYART's fine.
Okay. 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. And that brings us to this latest news of ancient DNA. Scientists have been busy extracting DNA from mummies out of ancient Egypt.
So if you think of mummies from Egypt, start thinking of, is this the out of Africa theory?
Oh.
Or somewhere else? Because remember, that's what the secular scientists
yes.
want to push, and the media, the media picks up on it and pushes this out of Africa
yes.
theory.
National
of where man,
Geographic, yep. the Discovery Channel.
Of course.
All of
it
that.
Because it contradicts the Bible.
The Science Channel. Exactly. If the number one commitment is the God of the Bible is not real, that's the secular world's number one commitment.
It is. Yep.
So
without a doubt,
anything that goes against the Bible is their favored theory. So the Bible tells us that civilization came out of Babel.
Yep. Babel.
But,
and that's in where?
Well, the Middle East.
The Middle East.
Mesopotamia, you know, Canaan. Just east
Could
of
be the
land
Syria
of Canaan.
Area, current Syria.
Well, southern Iraq, actually.
Okay.
Southern Iraq.
Okay.
Yeah. And that whole region, because Noah's Ark came to rest on Ararat, which is in Turkey, and that's Anatolia. So mm-hmm. you have Anatolia, you have the Middle East, you have Babel, you have Canaanites, that region.
The Middle East.
So the Bible tells us that civilization came out of Babel, whereas the atheists say it came out of Africa. And so this research into the genome of ancient Egypt, will it support the atheist and their out of Africa view of man's origins, or will it support the out of Babel view? I really am curious about that.
Oh, I can't wait to find out, but I did kind of read ahead and I saw something in there that said unexpected results.
Yes, that's right. So, you know, DNA doesn't lie. And so this genetic data, this is really going to be fascinating. The scientists from the prestigious Max Planck Institute in Germany, they're the ones who did the research. And the number of mummies that they looked at and the kinds of material from the mummies and how old the mummies are, this is all really fascinating.
So from the journal Nature Communication, they examined 150 mummies.
Whoa.
3,400 to 2,400 years old.
Okay.
And they studied bone, soft tissue, we're familiar with that, and teeth.
Wow. So this sounds a lot like dinosaur biomolecule recovery,
does.
Actually. So these oldest mummies, of 150 mummies, the oldest ones were, what, you said 3,400 years old, Fred?
Yep.
So that's almost as old as the time of Moses. That's the time of Joshua and his conquest mm-hmm. and all, down to 2,400 years old. And this bone, soft tissue, and teeth, here at Real Science Radio, we've been calling for this kind of research for the past decade into Egyptian mummy decomposition and what kind of biological molecules remain. Because when that data becomes more plentiful, we're going to see the overlap with the research into dinosaur soft tissue.
Yeah. dinosaur fossils really would probably be maybe about 5,400 years old. Yeah. So not even twice as old as the oldest in this mummy study.
The 3,400 years old. Yeah, right. Exactly. That's excellent. So let's look at excerpts from this report on the discovery in a CNN article. Now, I know that CNN is fake news.
Fake news, fake science news, fake everything.
Right. Yeah. CNN is fake news. But when there's testimony contrary to interest, like if there is a report on CNN of something that doesn't support the atheistic model, then it tends to be more reliable.
A little bit more credibility in this case.
Yes. And in fact, testimony contrary to interest is a useful tool that throughout the history of the world, you could use to evaluate reliability of information. Is somebody saying this because they're going to get $1 million, or are they saying this and it's going to cost them $1 million?
Well, this is what we found out from the Max Planck Institute, and I'm not going to get $1 million for saying this, but we can now show whether DNA is ancient or modern contamination by its chemical properties.
I love that. That's really cool. I have not heard this before, Fred. So we just gave an example of how you could tell it's not contamination. Like, it's not bacteria if it's collagen.
Yeah. So bacteria, they don't produce collagen. We already showed that you can tell.
But they are indicating that there are other ways that they can look at DNA and say this is not modern contamination.
By the chemical properties.
Because if you handle a bone, a dinosaur bone, you're depositing DNA on the bone.
Yeah, and they say more DNA than it's actually inside the bone as far as detectable.
Yeah, that's right. And so, of course, laboratory techniques are now at state-of-the-art levels. Mm-hmm. And when they're able to see the difference chemically between modern contaminated DNA and ancient DNA, that's pretty awesome.
So publishing its findings in, again, the journal Nature Communications, the study concluded that these ancient Egyptians who lived in Middle Egypt.
Middle Egypt?
Yeah, it starts just south of Memphis, where Elvis lives.
So between Upper and Lower Egypt. Yeah. There, in Middle Egypt, which is a good place to look if you want to get the general sense of ancient Egypt.
That's right. So these ancient Egyptians were closest genetic relatives of populations from, guess where?
Where?
The Middle East.
Oh, Anatolia.
Ding, 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 ding.
Which is
Turkey, as you mentioned earlier.
Which is where the Ark came to rest. And the Eastern Mediterranean Europeans.
Yeah.
And again, that's the Turks.
Yep.
You know, it might go as far as Greece. So this is like putting a target on Out of Babel. That's where these ancient Egyptians came from based on their DNA. And DNA doesn't lie.
That's right. In fact, modern Egyptians, by comparison, share much more DNA with, guess what? Sub-Saharan populations. Now, where is that?
Africa.
Yeah, that's really in the heart of Africa, right?
Yeah, and south of the Saharan Desert. Yep. So, over time, the genetic mixing of Egyptians went in the opposite direction, Fred, as predicted by the Out of Africa theory.
Yeah, falsifies that theory.
Oh,
absolutely
falsifies
it. This
is so powerful, which has happened previously, but this is...
Yeah.
Again and again and again, the arguments for evolution have been shrinking tremendously, whereas the arguments for biblical creation have been amplified. Every discovery, they're always saying, this is shocking. When they say this is shocking, they don't mean, look, something cool and different. Mm-hmm. No, they mean this contradicts our fundamental theories.
Yeah, they use words like horrendous, too.
Yeah, right.
Because it totally goes against what their worldview, like what they want to believe. I might be accountable to a God.
To a creator God.
Yep.
We did a whole show on that. It's called RSR's List of Shocked Evolutionists.
That's right.
That was a fun show. So instead of ancient man coming out of Africa, and so the Egyptian genome would have started heavy African and then be influenced by Babel, Ararat, Canaanite, Mesopotamia genomes. The pattern is the reverse.
Yep.
The ancient Egyptians shared their genetics out of Babel, as the book of Genesis records for us. And then over the thousands of years since, their collective genome is gradually influenced by the distinctions of Africa.
Yeah, of modern day Africa, right?
Yes. So wow. It's just awesome.
So another excerpt is, the findings have turned years of theory on its head, causing Egyptologists to reevaluate the region's history while unlocking new tools for scientists working in the field. And let's not forget our Exodus program that we had. Wasn't that awesome?
This is, yeah, evidence for the Exodus. Yeah. And Fred, we are nearing page one of Google rankings. When people Google evidence for the Exodus, we are on page two and near the very top of it.
Page two, wow.
A little more word of mouth and people linking to rsr.org/Exodus.
Yeah, so if you've got a website, or just go to a forum, Bible Talk
or
forum,
your
wherever.
Social media page.
Yeah.
Tweet
Tweet it. Link to it. It helps. It really does.
rsr.org/Exodus.
Yeah, go there and tweet it.
Oh.
Share it on Facebook.
Thank you so much for suggesting that, Fred. In fact, if you go to that webpage right at the top, we have all the social media links for sharing. It's as easy as could be. And I think we're going to end up on page one, Fred, when people look for evidence for the Exodus. And guess what? This is more evidence for the Exodus. Because when it says that these findings, DNA doesn't lie, they have turned years of theory on its head. You know what phrase they didn't use in this whole article? Out of Africa. They didn't use that phrase.
Yeah, what they're
saying is, wow, this totally opposes our theory. What theory?
Yeah, they're not going to say.
We don't want it.
They're
it's
not
too
say.
Big to fail.
Yep. So you need to remember to add this, and I know you probably already have, no, to your evidence for the Exodus
We'll do
page.
It, Fred. Well, I'm writing it down right now, a note to self. Self, add to Exodus. Yeah, this is more evidence for the Exodus. In fact, there's a new book, a scholarly book, out just this year, 2017, making a powerful argument that the first alphabet in the history of the world, the first phonetic alphabet, not pictographs, mm-hmm. pictures of things, but a phonetic alphabet is Hebrew, based on these stones, these inscriptions from Egypt at the time from Joseph to Moses.
Wow, that's so cool.
Powerful.
Not surprising
book.
For us. For me, I would be not surprising.
Right.
The opposite of shocked,
yeah,
surprised.
Right.
That's horrendous, Bob.
Yes. And the atheists say, well, the Jews, they're an insignificant tribe in history.
Oh, man.
One of millions of tribes. And so much of our modern world is understandable from the scriptures, which are given to us by the Jews. Well, by God through Israel.
Nothing. So, what's that from that recent movie? Nothing makes sense except in light of Genesis.
Oh, yeah. Is Genesis history. What a great film.
So some more excerpts from the CNN report. Analyzing samples spanning over a millennium, researchers looked for genetic differences compared with the Egyptians today. They found that the sample set showed a strong connection with a cluster of ancient non-African populations based, guess where?
Where?
East of the Mediterranean Sea.
Wait, east?
Not pretty decent at geography. I can picture a globe now. You see the Mediterranean Sea.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm seeing Tyre and Lebanon.
Oh, yeah.
And guess
Sidon.
What? Yeah. Modern day
Israel,
Syria, Iraq.
Yeah,
east
it's all
of the Mediterranean
east,
Sea.
So it's not out of Africa.
Yeah.
It's east of the Mediterranean Sea, which you go there and you find Iraq, which means Babel. So this is so fun, Fred.
Yeah, it is.
This is not out of Africa. This is out of Babel.
I never get tired of shooting apples in the barrel.
And no. And Ararat and Anatolia and the Mesopotamian Valley. So we're talking Genesis here. Just more evidence for the Exodus. Exciting.
Yep. So Professor Johannes Krauss of the Max Planck Institute describes the far-reaching data set gained from looking at mitochondrial genomes. And this is what he said. This is not just the DNA of one person. It's the DNA of the parents, the grandparents, the grandparents' parents, grand-grand-grandparents, parents, and so forth. Wow. Their DNA showed a strong connection with the cluster of ancient non-African populations based east of the Mediterranean Sea.
Babel, babel, babel. You know, Genesis 10 is the Table of Nations, and Genesis 11 is the Tower of Babel, the dispersion from the Middle East, from Mesopotamia. This is it. So, Fred, a few years ago, what we wrote on our dinosaur soft tissue page at rsr.org/soft tissue, like you said, We said we called for cross-discipline Egyptologist, paleontologist work to be done, because what they're going to find out is that the biological material that still exists in dinosaur bones is going to be similar to what we find in Egyptian mummies. It'll be a bit more decomposed because, like we said, 5,400 years ago versus 34, it's been 2,000 years.
But the amount of decomposition will be similar, right? Yeah, not in, the material itself.
In the right order of magnitude of decomposition. Now, the mummies, they were mummified and buried in dry conditions, so very stable conditions. So it makes sense that the mummies would have a bit more biological material readily available.
Mm-hmm.
And the dinosaurs are about 2,000 years older, those buried in the flood sediments, and they're not buried in these pristine conditions. So it would be more deteriorated, but they'd be similar.
Yeah.
And that's what we are predicting still will continue to be shown.
So hopefully the paleontological community will take up this endeavor.
Yeah. Yeah. Be awesome.
So you have a quote here from G. Elliott Smith from 1930.
Oh, yeah.
And it's in the introduction to the Papyrus Ebers. And he said, "In a pre-dynastic cemetery in Upper Egypt, I discovered in the stomachs of small children who had died nearly
6,000 years ago.
Yeah, here we go. 60 centuries ago.
By his, you know, estimate.
Yeah. The remains of mice which had been skinned and eaten just before their death."
Oh, brother.
Oh, wow.
So these children, he excavated these mummies and found these skinned mice in their stomachs. That is gross.
That is.
But the amazing thing is that he writes that these are not mere bones only, and he's a knighted member, he was, of the Royal Society.
Yeah, which is a big deal.
Yeah. Not the mere bones only, but the skin and the hair, the muscles and organs of the body, even such delicate tissues as nerves and brains, and most marvelous of all, the lens of the eye, all available for examination today. So we've got to do what we can to promote this kind of research, because these biomolecules, they are decomposing.
Yeah.
They're not going to be here forever.
They should be in a similar state of preservation with what we're discovering with the dinosaur soft tissue
that we've uncovered. Okay.
Okay, so back to Creation Magazine and the latest headlines. This one is titled, "Underground Lake Holds Oldest Water."
The oldest water.
You got to watch out for that oldest comment.
That is funny, right? They think this is the oldest water that we've found so far. Get a glass of water from your kitchen sink. It's going to be as old as the water in this lake.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not going to be a different age. Go jump in the ocean. It's going to be the same age. But the atheists, they think they found the oldest water.
Yeah, see, I think of old water as dusty because I left it on my nightstand from a couple nights earlier.
Yeah.
Like, I got to go get more water because it's got a little bit of dust in it.
Fresh water.
But guess what? The old water.
So this is an underground lake in Canada about 2 miles below the surface. Totally cool that they discovered this. And the water is more salty than seawater.
Yeah, 10 times the amount. It's super salty water.
Wow. And we know, because we study the Bible and real science, this is Real Science Radio, that there was subcrustal water. The water below the crust, 60 miles down below the crust, it was diluted with surface water when it came up with the fountains of the Great Deep. And so while it was so salty down there, it is less salty in the oceans.
Which makes perfect sense. Just like you said, it'd become diluted.
Yes, exactly. But these scientists, they're atheists, materialists, and they're saying that this water, it's 2 billion years old. Cool.
Yeah.
That's what they think, right?
2 billion years old.
It's actually about 7,000 years old. And they say that it could provide clues to the life deep below the surface of planets like Mars.
Yeah.
And it's found in Precambrian rock. That's why they think it's 2 billion years old. But, you know, Cambria rock, Wales, over in England, Wales, its earlier name was Cambria. And that's where that geologist Adam Sedgwick studied rocks. That's where we got the Cambrian and Precambrian rocks. And so Fred, they say this all the time, that if you find water, you're going to find life. NASA says that on these moons, on planets like Mars, where they just discovered water for the 1,000th time.
Yeah.
They say if you have water there, you're probably going to find life. And that's really a bit of a scam. It's like a bait and switch, because water is essential to maintain life, but water is the enemy of biological molecules forming on their own.
That's right. It tears them down. It's very, very corrosive.
Yeah, so it's a bait and switch, and it's ubiquitous. Atheists do it all the time. Oh, there's water? Oh, probably life is forming. NASA's Cassini mission going out to Saturn, one of the moons.
Yep.
They're thinking, hey, there's going to be water under the surface, and we're probably, or we could find life because there's water. Well, water is the universal solvent.
It's exactly.
That means it dissolves chemicals. The building blocks of life, like amino acids and these polymers we're talking about, water is ruthless to those things.
Relentless.
It takes them apart. It's called the universal solvent. So, yes, water is needed when you have an organism that has an information control system and it uses water to maintain its functioning, biological life. Yeah.
So let me guess, the fake media and entertainers like Bill Nye, they don't mention this fact, do they?
No.
It's a total bait and switch, like you said.
Yeah.
It's an illusion.
BBC,
it's brainwashing.
European Space Agency, NOVA, they never say, well, there's water out there, but come to think of it, water dissolves amino acids.
Yeah, they don't say that.
Water
but they
breaks
will
down
say,
biological molecules.
But they will say, oh, we've got evidence for a global flood on Mars.
Yeah.
And you can't even actually see water.
Yeah.
And they'll say there's a...
But there is water there, but it's basically a desert environment. But they say there could not have been a global flood on Earth where we're covered 70% water
of it,
a couple miles deep. So water helps maintain life, but it ruthlessly undoes prebiotic molecules.
That's right. So in this article, the author, the creationist who wrote this particular headline, he mentions that the account of Noah's flood mentions that the fountains of the great deep burst forth. That's Genesis 7:11.
And we love that because of our support for the flood model based on the fountains of the great deep, Walt Brown's hydroplate theory, where the water came from below the crust. And the other creation organizations, they have different models, and some say that magma came up and caused
the fountains
the flood.
Of the great magma.
But the fountains of the great deep were not magma. It's not fountains of magma of the great deep. We made a YouTube video about that.
Yeah, and you were just at the creation museum a couple weeks ago.
Noah's Ark, which is the full size
replica.
Oh, did
you get a chance to go to the museum?
No,
it's right next door.
I've been there a few times.
Okay.
But went to the Ark, and it's phenomenal. Just fabulous. We highly recommend it. In fact, we might put out a video tour of Noah's Ark.
Oh, that'd be cool.
From our time there.
You know, and the fake media is also saying that, you know, that thing's not been very successful.
Oh,
people
brother.
Go there and the parking lot's full. It's super
thousands
busy.
Of people
it's a destination
a day.
For a lot of Christians.
It's a world-class tourist attraction.
Noah's Absolutely. And we, I mean, we're already planning a trip to go there next summer.
Great for you guys.
We tried to fit it in this summer, but it didn't work. But we're definitely going
the
next summer.
The Ark Encounter, it is so great. Their biggest attendance in one day on a Saturday, 8,000. The week before we went on a Friday. So many thousands of people there. They had 6,500 people the week before we went there on a Saturday. And between the Creation Museum, which is 40 minutes away, and the Ark, they're attracting hundreds of thousands of tourists a year to northern Kentucky.
Yeah, they are. And, man, what a boon for that area. But, you know, when I was at
they're building new hotels,
absolutely,
restaurants, and the media keeps reporting that nobody's going there.
Yeah.
the locals are going out of business.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's such a
fraud. I was there. I remember when I was there.
Fake news.
But for the CRS conference a few years ago, I mean, even on, like, a Monday, it was busy. Unbelievable.
The museum.
Yeah, the museum.
CRS, Creation Research Society.
That's right.
Are you still their webmaster?
I'm still
Fred?
A webmaster.
Wow, that's been many years you've done that. Thank you for that labor of love. How about we do one last headline, and then we'll need to end the show. The third headline out of Creation Magazine is about Lucy, Fred, they have an article about the famous Lucy skeleton, and some of the evidence they use to claim that Lucy walked upright are these tracks that are found in volcanic ash. They're called the Laetoli tracks, and they look like they were made from a creature that walked upright.
Yeah, human children.
Well,
it's amazing how they reach, you know, they're so desperate.
Yes. So some researchers, including a handful of evolutionists, have pointed out what you just said, Fred, that these footprints are identical to those that human children would make. But the evolutionists say, oh, it can't. It's in the wrong era.
Yeah.
So
well, like one evolutionist said, they're just bloody apes. Solly Zuckerman.
Oh,
you know, he was a well-known anthropologist.
Yes.
So he didn't buy into the whole Lucy charade.
So I got to do a wonderful show on Lucy with a creationist friend out of California, Dan Biddle, and we called it RSR's List of Problems with Lucy.
Yeah, problems, as an upright walker.
Lucy, get over here, Lucy, as an upright walker. Fred, real quickly, let's end the show by listing the features of Lucy that are chimp-like and that show that she did not walk upright.
Yeah. So, for example, locking wrists for knuckle walking.
Her wrist locked.
An inner ear for balance, oriented like knuckle walking chimps. Wow. Shock.
Her inner ear.
The skull attachment for the inner ear like knuckle walking chimps.
All right.
And curved hands, surprisingly to some, similar to tree climbing chimps.
Yeah.
And they had long and curved toe bones.
Lucy did.
Even by ape standards.
Yeah, right.
She had a sloping chimp-like face fronting a chimp-sized brain.
Whoa.
Sounds like a chimp to me.
And finally, from our You Just Can't Make This Stuff Up file,
a 2016 autopsy that reports death by falling 46 feet out of a tree.
Yeah. So good evidence that the way Lucy died, and very possibly in the turmoil of the global flood, the tectonic turmoil of that catastrophe, she falls out of this tree from 46 feet up. That's high up in a tree, and she falls to her death.
Yeah, but I'm sure she was just an upright walker like a human and climbed it for fun and lost their balance,
right,
and they're gone.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
You know.
With her curled toes and fingers and her inner ear,
man,
oriented like a chimp.
And
so
I know
on.
This list we just ran through, I've going through this in the past, this, a lot of this stuff came from secular evolutionists who also disbelieve. They don't buy into the evidence that has been presented for Lucy. It's just not there.
Yeah.
A lot of that, the discoverer Lucy admitted that they wanted to find a Lucy-like creature or else the funds would dry up. Because there's a lot of money to find man's alleged ancestor.
Yeah,
tons of money.
Exactly, right.
Because, money and fame. Fame with their atheist friends.
Because atheists like to manipulate the culture and especially children into thinking that we have found the proof that we evolved from some ape-like creature that really were just animals. And kids, we see them acting like animals. Don't be surprised when you tell them they're animals if they act like animals. And that's what's happening.
That's unfortunately what's happening.
Yeah. And that's why we urge people to keep their kids out of public schools.
Yeah. And when you're in the forest, don't step on a fossil because you could change its shape. Like happened to Lucy, according to that one scientist on National Geographic, the pelvic bone. They took a buzzsaw to it because it was the shape of a chimp.
That should be added to our list, shouldn't it? The buzzsaw and the video.
Yeah.
All right, we'll do that too. Okay, Fred Williams, thank you so much.
Thanks, Bob. It was great.
And the video, Jurassic Dinosaurs Are Young, all of them. Not only that, we have fabulous creation resources at our store, including the book by our favorite scientist, Dr. Walt Brown. It's called In the Beginning, and our own video on the global flood and the hydroplate theory. If you get any of these resources, you will help us stay on the air. So thank you so much. For Fred Williams and Bob Enyart, this is Real Science Radio. May God bless you.